Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
I work as a hospital chaplain, and I often share stories from the great work that I get to bear witness to. When I do this, I change identifying details to protect my patients and their loved ones and my colleagues, but I keep the essence of what happened. This first story is about a patient I'll call Martha. Martha had suffered a brain injury, and after many tests, the team was preparing to meet with Martha's family to share detrimental results and discuss options for next steps. I joined the large care team meeting with Martha's nieces. The neurologist explained that the test showed Martha would never be able to speak or to comprehend language. She would never be able to walk. The doctor believed Martha would be deaf and she would be blind. She expressed her deep condolences as we waited for Martha's family to respond. "We have faith," her niece said. "We believe in miracles. God made the blind see, and he will make her see." Not knowing what to say, the doctor turned to look at me, the chaplain. Years before Martha was on this unit, a young man that I'll call Antonio was here. He had moved here from far away to attend college, and it was only his second semester. He collapsed and was brought to the hospital with many failing organs. His family lived multiple flights away. The care team met before calling his family for an update. Despite their efforts, they didn't believe there was anything more they could do to save Antonio. His father spoke a language that was not common here, and we used a language line to help us. Upon hearing this update, his father pleaded, "You don't have to speak the language to know when somebody is pleading with you." The interpreter explained, "He wants to be with his son when his son dies. He has been trying all week to get a visa, and every attempt has been denied. He says, 'Please don't let my son die without his father.'" All of us had tears at the injustice, the devastation, and what felt like hopelessness. We were silent. The ICU attending looked at me and said, "Well, Allie, we need a miracle to make that happen." I have a lot of stories when I hear the word miracle, and I wonder what you think of when you think of miracles. Many of us first learned about miracles as extraordinary events that manifest divine intervention in our human affairs. We learned about miracles as something we cannot make happen on our own. Miracles are something we pray for and wait desperate for God to intervene and make something extraordinary happen. Like Mirasol from the movie Encanto, we are left waiting on a miracle. And when we are waiting, the stakes are incredibly high, just as they were for Martha and her family, and for Antonio and his family. Can I tell you a secret? I am not very well versed in the Bible. I do have 12 years of Catholic school education, but when the Bible started to be used against me and my LGBTQ community, I sort of stopped listening. Then I went to divinity school, but while there, I petitioned to take classes like Virginia Woolf as sacred text instead of Bible classes. When patients quote a specific passage of the Bible, I often use my safety response. It goes like this: "Chaplain, you know Isaiah chapter 41? I don't. I look at Connor. Connor, tell me what Isaiah 41 means to you and why you turn to it. And I find I learn all that I need to know. The Bible is full of miracles. As a child, I was mesmerized, absolutely mesmerized by them. They made God a magical, magical source, able to do anything. And I was less scared of bad things happening, because when that happened, God could just make a miracle happen. But as I got older and I prayed for miracles and I didn't get them, I felt abandoned. Growing up is hard. There are difficult lessons and the world is complicated. But sometimes there is beauty in the complexity. I have found this to be true for the Bible. There are many different interpretations. Some of these interpretations got me to start listening again. Let me tell you about one of my favorite examples of this beautiful complexity. For today's reading, we heard the story about the fishes and the loaves. The interpretation I learned in my religion classes growing up was that this is a miracle that Jesus made happen. He literally multiplied the few pieces of food into enough to feed thousands. This is something a regular person can't do on their own. When I was in grad school, I attended a lecture where a Catholic priest, whose name I wish I could remember, talked about this passage. "Sure," he said, "you can take this literally, that Jesus turned a few loaves of bread and fish into enough to feed the crowd." But my favorite way to read this is that it tells of a miracle that humans are capable of. Jesus was, after all, God in human form. I think about the person who had the food. I believe the miracle is that Jesus's teachings of service and love were so effective that they inspired sharing. Those who had food shared, and people saw their example and they shared too. The sharing spanned so far that everyone had enough to eat. A miracle, yes, but a miracle within our reach. When you look up the definition of a miracle, the first includes the divine, but the second does not. The definition is an extremely outstanding or unusual event or thing or accomplishment. I'm not too concerned about debating whether or not God can manifest miracles for us. Working in a hospital, I've seen so many people and so many staff pray and wait for something that medicine has said is impossible. Sometimes it happens. More often it does not. And all those begging for their miracle are deserving. I'm glad to let mystery be mystery. But mystery is not within our control. When we believe the only pathway to a miracle is to wait for God, there's not much we can do. But if we believe there are some miracles that we can make happen, we propel our love and our ideas and our actions into something outstanding and something that can change the course of our lives. Another note in the dictionary's definition of miracle proclaims, a miracle is an extraordinary and astonishing happening that is attributed to the presence and action of an ultimate divine power. Some of us hear this and we might think this means a God apart from us. Some of us might hear this and stop listening. Here's my suggestion. Let's hear this and think about the divine power as being within each of us, within all beings. Maybe we think of this as a part of a God that lives in each of us. Maybe we think of this as a powerful source of love within each of us. Or maybe we think of this as the thing within each of us that we know is inherently good and worthy. Our faith tells us this. If we believe each of us has something inherently sacred within us, imagine what we are capable of. Imagine the miracles we can create. Let me tell you what happened to Antonio and his family. For over 2 weeks, our government said no to Antonio's father's pleas to come and be with his son. His father spoke no English and had never been out of the country. His sister did speak English, and his niece had been to the U.S. Both also applied to be here. The unit mobilized. Other units mobilized. Anyone who had any connection used it. Finally, we heard that Antonio's father, Joe, was granted a visa. His sister and his niece were not. Antonio's team was worried. How are we going to keep him safe? Where will he stay? How will he get here? Should we be doing this? Joe's neighbors pulled their money to help pay for his flight. Antonio had made friends in college who were from the same country. One friend was local. His mom offered to take Joe in. His mom's church offered to share meals. A nurse's extended family was from a nearby place, and she put together a basket of familiar wrapped snacks to keep in Antonio's room. Our interpretive services director brought Antonio his own translator iPad to stay in the room for Joe. I talked with Antonio's friend's mom, and together we made a flipbook of translated phrases for Joe to keep with him while he navigated the city. Please help me get to Tufts Medical Center at 800 Washington Street. I need help. Please call my niece at this number and she will help us. Joe arrived. He was so often not alone. Antonio's friends, their families, their church, our doctors, our nurses, our housekeepers. We kept vigil with him until Antonio passed away with his dad holding his hand. I think about what Antonio's doctor had said to me weeks before when Joe told us he needed to get here. We need a miracle to make that happen. So many people came together to create the miracle. Neighbors, healthcare workers, friends, congregants, all using their sacred love and coming together to create something extraordinary. Another story from an intensive care unit, this time about a patient I'll call Lily, who was rushed into the unit unconscious and accompanied by two armed guards. She was arrested for assault just before she collapsed, her nurse explained. Family is on the way, it doesn't look good. Her grandma, I'll call Nancy, came in not too long later. As the team provided an update, she said, "We just need God to save her." When I came to check on Nancy later in the day, she was angry, telling me, "I can't believe those guards need to be outside the room. Lily is on a ventilator, she can't go anywhere. Everyone is going to see them and decide who Lily is, that she's a bad person. They'll only know her as a criminal. But she is scared. And she's a talented artist, and she loves kids. She was a camp counselor and volunteered at the local family shelter. No one will ever know that with them sitting here." I very politely asked the guards if they could leave while Lily was intubated. They very politely told me they could not. I asked Nancy if she could send me pictures of the Lily that she wants us to know. She did. We made posters for her room. Nancy was glad for this. She said, "If Lily had anything to say about it, she would have art everywhere. At least you're learning more about the real Lily." I thought about how many providers Lily had. During rounds, I explained Nancy's fears that we would only see Lily as a criminal. "I have an idea," Nat said. Nat was one of our resident doctors. She said, "What if we honor what Lily would want? What if we each bring Nancy a picture of a piece of art we love, or a view of something we find beautiful. What an amazing idea, and what an amazing doctor. And everyone got into it. For the next week, techs, therapists, doctors, nurses, housekeepers brought a picture of art with them. Often I would see them sit down with Nancy, listening to her tell them about Lily. Lily never woke up. She died in a hospital room surrounded by pictures of her with her family and friends, and pictures of art, gifts to her and her grandma from her providers. We saw this art so much more than we saw her guards. A year after Lily died, we got a card from Nancy. "You all didn't save Lily's life, but you did save her. You saved her reputation. You made sure she didn't die as a criminal. I'm starting a nonprofit in her name to bring art to kids in need. I want to keep alive the memory of my beautiful artist, Lily." A God above us didn't save Lily's life in the way her grandma asked, but her care team used their goodness to save something so important for Lily and for Nancy. I wish I could hold us here all day to keep telling you stories about miracles of human making. There's so much pain in our world, and there's so much compassion. Have you ever been the recipient of miracles? Have you received something extraordinary made possible by human love? What can your love create for our world? I know we've seen in this congregation that we are capable of extraordinary acts. We are capable of miracles. Every Sunday, we light our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, this faith that reminds us that we are all inherently worthy and good, this faith that calls us to work for justice, equity, and compassion in our human relationships. The service begins when our service ends. What if we become the chalice outside of these walls? What if our love would spark acts of goodness? What if we illuminate our world, become beacons of love? God made the blind see. We believe God will bring a miracle, my patient's niece said. Whether by chance or by God, we are here. Imagine what our love could help people see and the miracles that we can create. It is okay to wait on miracles, to rest and to pray for them. I also ask you to believe in the miracles you can create. It's in every one of us. Your divine power, your love, is extraordinary, and we need you. Amen. Our benediction for today is called For Miracles and Elijah. When the pain of the ordinary living builds to a mountain too big to bear, and everything in you is pleading for a miracle, lift your eyes. As you look up, may you feel every iteration of the divine and every corner of the universe listening to you, letting you know you are worthy of miracles. Lower your eyes. As you look down, may you feel the company of millions of beings who share your ground, letting you know the extraordinary also lives in the interconnectedness. Close your eyes. As you turn inward, may you marvel at all that breathed you into being and shaped and refined your soul, letting you know you are the essence of a miracle. As you face the pains made of all that is ordinary in our world, may you look up, look down, look within, and see the extraordinary. May miracles always be within your reach. Love is the spirit of this congregation. May love hold us all until we meet again. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. I love you. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.